Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 24. These are God's words. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. So the people whom the apostle is addressing here are especially Jews here. But the principle applies for Christians as well. He says, you who are called a Jew, it's someone who identifies with the people of God. And they rest on the law, and they make their boast in God, that is, in being associated with God. And they know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed on the law. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Those are all good things. To be identified with God's people and to be identified with God himself, and to know that his word teaches us what is right and what is good. However, there is a danger for those who know that those are good things, that we would have confidence, not that God, by all of these things, is instructing and training and correcting us, but that we have goodness in ourselves, and that what other people really need is us. That it is the other people who are blind and in darkness and foolish, and that we are guides and light and instructors. Oh, and babies. They're babies too. And we are guides and lights and instructors and teachers. And the great mistake here is in verse 19, confident that you yourself are. The problem is that if you see all these privileges from God and you don't recognize that they are solutions from God to the problems that are in us, then you are not going to receive the solution. Someone who does not know that he needs help is not going to take or receive the help. And it is even worse when they think that they are able to help others. This is what Jesus called the blind leading the blind, which could be, if it wasn't so politically incorrect, a silly cartoon, except for that in spiritual things, it's actually a profoundly sad reality. And so he sets before us, if you know that God alone is good and that he's set apart a people to himself, and that one of the great privileges that this people has is to have his word, then what you're going to do with that word first is address yourself and your own lacking. You're not going to use his word like the Gentiles use the creation. Remember that the Gentiles used their conscience to do what? Not just accuse, but also excuse themselves, he said earlier in the chapter. Well, it would be a dreadfully opposite thing for us to do, to take God's word that tells us the truth about our sinfulness and somehow feel like our having it shows us how superior we are. And yet there are those who, by virtue of being in the church, by virtue of having the Bible, by virtue of having knowledge from the Bible, find themselves not all the more needy of God, but knowing themselves inaccurately, by virtue of the benefits that God has given us, come to be puffed up about themselves. And so, verse 21 asks, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself?" But you know, the first thing you're supposed to do with the Bible is not feel superior, but feel humiliated by how infinitely greater God's wisdom is than yours. And always come expecting that you're going to learn more, that you're going to learn more correctly, that you're going to learn more profoundly and richly, that you're going to have disproportions and even maybe errors in how you think corrected and ironed out. We have to have a humility of spirit before the Word of God. It's a dreadful temptation in our fleshliness, especially if we happen to be right about a lot of things. There's nothing wrong with that. You actually want to be right about a lot of things. But there's a dreadful temptation if you're right about a lot of things to read the Bible this way. Uh-huh, yep, I'm right about that. Oh, and that one, boy, this other person over here needs to hear that. And we just read the Bible as an affirmation of how wonderful we are and how stupid everyone else is. Now, you're obviously not reading it correctly if you read it that way. But the flesh wants to read it that way. And it's not just Pharisees who could do that. You know, the Pharisees were the more accurate of the Bible teachers of the day. Comparing them to the Sadducees, Jesus said, "Listen to them because they sit in Moses' seat, but don't you do what they do." And so, it's an important question. "You who teach another, do not teach yourself. You who preach that a man should not steal, who say, do not commit adultery, who abhor idols, do you steal? Do you commit adultery? Do you rob temples?" So he's saying, you should be the first one you teach, and you should be the first one you examine by the law. It's the same thing Jesus said. He says, take the log out of your eye. Why? Well, in part so that you can help your brother with his eye. It's not wrong to show your brother something out of the Bible that helps correct him, but you better do it as someone who has sat humbly under the instruction of Scripture and don't have confidence in yourself. Someone who is accustomed to being corrected and instructed so that you may be helpful to your brother. You don't think what your brother needs is you, but that what your brother needs is help in the same place that you have found that your desperate need for help is met. And if we don't come to the Bible that way, what do we have? Well, we have our remaining sin and our remaining error. See, the problem is we actually are sinners. The problem is we actually are in error. And so if we don't receive instruction for ourselves first, if we don't examine ourselves first, then our sin and our error will run unchecked. And God will see it and he will be dishonored. "You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law?" You see, if we understood his law correctly, we would say, yes, there are ways in which I steal and in which I commit adultery and in which I commit idolatry. The law of God is exceedingly broad and it goes to the thoughts and inclinations of the heart. And every time I read it, I find ways that my heart is running in opposition to all of his commandments. The person who takes the questions in verse 21 and 22 and says, "Nope, nope, 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 check, check, check. Yep, I did verse 21 and 22. Self-examined and pass." They're missing the point about God's law that we've seen recently in the Ten Commandments as we went through each commandment and that Jesus himself has taught us in Matthew chapter 5 and the heart requirements of every aspect of God's law. So when he says, "You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law?" If you do not come to the Bible every time expecting to be instructed, corrected, exposed, brought to more repentance, brought to more faith, if we don't come with that humility, then yes, we dishonor God through breaking the law. And it is all the more offensive when we think that the law is exonerating us. And you know who else can see it? It's not just God. People can see that we're hypocrites. You take someone whose sin is unchecked, and they probably have their pet three or four commands that they think they keep pretty well externally, and they want to make those the things by which you measure everyone else. But they're ungrateful or mean-spirited and always grumbling, or any number of sins that other people can see plain as the nose on your face. Do you think they're impressed by the few things that you seem to be keeping well? Or do they hear you and see you looking down upon others, but easily see places where you don't keep the law that you claim to know and advocate for? You see, hypocrisy is quite often very easily, quickly seen through. And not only do we dishonor God to his face in breaking his law, verse 23, but when we live that way, we even give other people occasion to blaspheme the name of God. The Gentiles are responsible for their blaspheming. But God forbid. God forbid that we, by not being humble, by not being instructed, by not engaging in self-examination, first and foremost, that we would give occasion to the unbeliever to say, see, that's what God and his word and his people are like. What a sad, should be the one of the things that we hate the most, that the name of God would be blasphemed on account of me. And yet, that's always a danger if we're misusing our identity with God and our access to his word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing us back to this lesson again, and the providence in which we would end up having it a couple of times in the space of 2 weeks. And we pray then, Lord, that we would recognize that you have done this. We pray that your Spirit would humble us and make us to come to your word to be instructed and corrected. We pray that you would grow us in grace and in holiness, that we would dishonor you less and less, that less and less would we give occasion to those who would blaspheme your name. We thank you, Lord, that your word is very honest with us. And we pray that we would find in you and in your use of your word the solution to our ongoing error and our ongoing sinfulness. Grant it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.